What's up, Fandom Night, episode 50. Let's wait to live stream.
Welcome to What's Up, Fandom Night, the show that talks about your feeds, what you're talking about. Anybody that doesn't know, this is the 50th episode, and this is your show. To all the stuff that we do Jobber Wrestling Corner, the Sentai Review, easily our biggest show, comics, TAS, What's Up, Fandom Night, that's this. I lost it. I was going.
We've got Jobber, we've got What's Up, we've got Sentai, we've got Controller Pileup, we've got Comics Toss, Bill does Keeping Up with the X-Men, me and Scotty end up running Ruxpin Abridged, and I do believe that is all of the shows, because we've got a lot of shit. Yeah, we've got a lot of plates that are spinning on top of normal 9-to-5 jobs, because we don't get paid for this shit.
Dude, we do. So, welcome. This is What's Up. This is What's Up Fandom Night. This is episode 50. We are live, and this is going to hopefully become kind of a normal thing to kind of get people in and talking while we're talking. And so far, currently, we have the big two viewers, and I think you're one of them.
Actually, no, because I dropped out. So,
Okay. Yeah. Two mystery people.
Two actual people.
All right. Okay. So
watching me smoke and drink out of a giant water jug as we basically live stream us talking on a Thursday in the middle of the night, because fuck it, why not?
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone.
Okay, so let's go ahead and rock this out. Let me know. Yeah, you can start out. Take us to the feed. You're on the main feed, right?
Right, I'm on the standard Reploid Productions, Fandom Night feed. Wow, I went old school because we're waiting on Kevin.
That's right.
God damn.
So what's going on?
It looks like, first it looks like Kevin finally got back to me, but find it using his email. Awesome. Okay, you do that, add Kevin to the call. I'm going to work on the feeds.
What?
Kevin just added his email into our main messenger.
Okay.
Yes, we have a messenger that we use in order to communicate amongst the group. But, yeah, he said you can find his stuff that way. But, yeah, it looks like the first thing on the main Fandom Night page on Facebook is Scott saying, Switch Smash, because I guess Nintendo did their big thing talking about how Super Smash Brothers is coming out on the Nintendo Switch. Big shocker there. Kind of figured that one was going to happen. Smash and Mario Party and Mario Kart are like the big fucking Nintendo properties anymore. Let's see. Next up, Bill posted a few hours ago about doing a live stream on his own channel. Well, technically the Reploid Productions channel, but he's taking it back.
Dude, I am. I'm so taking it back, dude.
All right, let me see here. Aaron Juergens posted a couple of pictures of Shazam from, let me see here. Shazam indeed would have preferred
Dude.
The classic suit, but the new 52 reboot is okay because of the movie.
He looks so good though, man.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at the photos now. I didn't actually see this earlier.
He looks great. I'm really impressed. I truly, truly am.
I don't know. He's kind of reminding me of the 90s Flash where he's in like a big foam rubber suit.
I actually think he's that big.
Yeah.
How the fuck do I find people on this dumbass thing?
You hit the three buttons that'll take you over. You say search Skype, and then you click a button, and then
you
type in.
What three buttons?
Hold on.
I got Skype, contacts, conversations, call, view, tools, help. I got all kinds of shit, but not a search.
Wow.
This was the wrong time to search this stuff.
How the
fuck does he have two? You know what? I'm just going to do the first one. Why not?
What?
Apparently, Kevin has two different Skype set up under his email. So, awesome. This will be fun. Fucking hell. Technical difficulties. We are dumb.
Dumb as hell. Okay, well, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Just send him a message. If it's him, it's him. If not, oh well. Let's
see.
Next one.
Some kind of fun nightmare.
Yeah, let's see. Next one is you and your stream again, asking people what game you should play. Let's see. We got a guy we went to high school with telling everybody to search for a part number at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I did it. I did it.
Fuck.
If you go to O'Reilly Auto Parts and you search 121G, it comes up in their inventory as the flux capacitor.
Oh, yeah. That's something old as fuck. Yeah, I completely forgot about that.
Yep. Yeah, I did that. Also, in the one where I was trying to look for something to stream, that led to basically, oh, man. That was one of those things I haven't had to deal with in a long time. These fan, how do I put this? Sometimes fans think that their fandom is so much bigger than your fandom, no matter right. what. And there was one guy on there that was very adamant that I should stream Battlefield.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that one.
And I was like, I was like, I don't want to. And he was like, well, you should. You should go buy it right now, and you should stream it. And I was like,
yeah.
I'm not sure how to explain this to you. I don't want to. And he was like, well, it's the best, and it's the best game you've ever played in your entire life, and you're an idiot if you don't go and stream it right now. Basically, that's what I was getting out of it. And I was like, listen, man. I was like, I don't care for first-person shooters at this current time. I just don't. It's just something I don't give a shit about right now. So I'm not going to do that. And he was like, your loss, not mine. And then I got a couple of other suggestions, but really when it came down to it, I got to thinking about it. I need to beat some of these games so that I can get them off my hard drive. So I went and accessed Final Fantasy IX. And I'm starting to remember
why I'm trying, don't like that game.
I'm trying to give it a fair shot because going back to Final Fantasy XII, I figured out it was really good and I made a mistake by kind of shitting on it. And so I decided I'd go back to 9. And I think I know why I did not like that game when I was a kid. Final Fantasy 1, 2, and 3. 4, 5, and 6, and 7, and 8 all feel very serious to me. There's comedy in certain places, but it feels very serious to me. Final Fantasy IX, however, I've
played...
You get
scenes like where I jumped in, where, you know, there's a bitch in a white cloak running around making people spin a million miles an hour, and...
Yes!
You can... Hey, where are you running off to? Hey... I need to talk to that person. Don't let him down the stairs. Motherfucker, did you not just see? Oh, bitch went down the stairs. Gee, thanks.
I'm yeah. Like, it's very slapstick comedy, and I didn't really put that together when I was younger. I didn't realize just how strangely childish it was, and it is. It just blatantly is. It's really weird. And I guess if you're okay with the lightheartedness of it, that's fine. And it's not a bad game, but I will say this. Once again, going back to it, I don't like that trance shit. And I don't like how it's a little too slapstick sometimes. Like, there has not been one part yet that has been serious. Even areas where it looks like it might get serious are still like... VV keeps running and he trips on his face, and then there's like there's just comedy every step of the way, which is fun and lighthearted, but sometimes it's also dumb and difficult and it takes me out of the moment. And when you're in battle, it is slow. Like, I had to go in and turn the battle system to its top speed, and it still is slow. It's really irritating.
Exactly. Okay, give me one moment here.
You calling him? Well,
okay, let's see if we can add this motherfucker in. Uh-oh. Fuck.
What?
Okay. There we go. I think I got him. You can have...
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Yeah, I believe so.
Getting video up now. There we go. Okay.
There we go.
There we go.
There's that motherfucker right there. So, hey, guy. Welcome back. You have been missing from the show for a day or two.
Yeah.
I could check exactly when, because let's see, last time you showed up was in Epic Game Night.
Epic Game Time. Yeah, in fact, I showed his wife that video.
Because I
met them.
Epic Game Time was after all my other, like, you know, random shows and stuff, right?
Man, yeah. That was the last appearance of you. He showed up. And he was like, oh yeah, guys, I'm looking forward to like finally getting back in and whatnot. And I was like, well, you're in luck because tonight is Epic Game Time where we play an epic game.
It was a shit game.
But... it was so good. It was so good.
You loved it.
No, yeah, it was so fun.
Scott would be with us to let everybody know, but. He actually had he had a meeting. I guess only if you're pretty hardcore into our show, you would know this. Scott actually does theater stuff. He has a theater group that he runs with around Peoria and whatnot, where he does different things. Like recently, they did a child's program where he went to a couple of libraries and entertained some school kids and whatnot. I don't know exactly the age group, but I know it was like a Dr. Seuss thing where he actually had to dress up as Cat in the Hat and crap like that.
That's pretty cool. How long has he been doing that?
A couple of years now. Yeah, he's done all sorts of stuff, from some serious stuff, lighthearted stuff, and then of course like this is a children's program where he went and entertained children and whatnot.
It's a local troupe, and they'll do random plays and shit like that, and most of it, it's done over at one of the local libraries in the area. So.
Yep. So.
But yeah. So let's go back to this.
Yep.
I think the last thing I had was, there we are, Ronan decided to tag me and Bill in the Candyman, which was the most retarded thing I think I've ever laid eyes on ever.
Dude, it's so dumb.
I saw that yesterday, too. I was showing that to my wife, and she's like, what the fuck is that?
Dude, it's so dumb.
Well, one of the fans did kind of correct us. Once again, Aaron hopped on, and he said, well, apparently, while he may be a silly monster, they were making fun of Margaret Thatcher. Over in Britain. So basically it was one of those things where it was meant to scare kids and not adults. And I could kind of see being like a dumb 5-year-old and thinking that that's creepy, because obviously in motion it's going to look a lot creepier than it does as a goofy looking apple torso, fucking slice of goddamn pineapple for a dick.
I don't know. I'm 28 and I thought that shit was creepy.
No, that shit was...
I thought it was like a dumb knockoff Dr. Robotnik. Like,
yes.
What the hell?
Whoa!
Oops, got a buzz.
Whoa!
Holy shit, what the fuck
is that?
Wait, what happened?
That was a horrible buzz.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Turn
your vibrator off, Kevin.
I'm sorry, man. I thought that was what this was.
No.
One second. Let me go ahead and switch to a different audio feed.
Oh, yes. Let's okay, please yes, do please. That. Holy shit, son.
God yeah. damn, son. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Josh posted a 1988 Batman review. And I think the last thing I'm going to end on is IGN has an article about there's going to be a Princess Leia manga to debut in Japan.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Man, that's really strange to me. I mean, I guess Star Wars is big all over the world, but that just kind of blew my mind.
Right.
I don't know why. I guess it shouldn't. But, like, there's something about Star Wars manga. And it's not even a Star Wars manga. I heard it's a Princess Leia manga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, from what I could tell from it, it's looking like it's going to follow, like, just her, I think.
Yeah.
Let me double check it, but yeah.
Yeah, that one kind of threw me off.
I don't want your ad, IGN.
Not that it would be bad. Who knows? Maybe it's really, really cool, but it really shocked me.
Okay, let me see here. Yeah, Leia, Princess of Alderaan novel into a manga serial, which will make its debut on May the 4th, so Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's expected to only come out in Japan. No word yet on a possible English translation, which will happen eventually, whether that be like a fan-done translation or whether that be they, you know, actually translate it and send it over our way. Let me see here. Novel follows Leia discovering the Rebel Alliance, joining up with them, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we kind of know the backstory. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So can you guys hear me?
Yeah, yeah, I can hear you.
Cool. Yeah, that was the headset.
Yes, yes, old Bill Logan.
Yeah, the headset I was using I got from Wish. And yeah, don't use that. Yeah, that was bad.
I'm using
just like the off-the-shelf, like $30, $40, like Turtle Beach that you buy at like Walmart.
Yeah, I picked up the exact same one.
Yeah. Get $80 one, but it shot the shit on me. Like, I had it for about 2 years or so, and I don't know what happened to it. It just stopped working.
We'll be able to get Scott in soon. It said that he just got online, but okay. let's jump over to Comics Toss, because we already went through what? Did we go through five? At least five posts?
Yeah, I went through at least five. Yeah, okay. I think I went more than five.
Over here on Comics Toss, we got I posted a super old video. I posted a super old video, and the only thing that was my point to it was that we need to be careful about, how do I put this, new fans. It's something that all of us do, and we don't even realize we're doing it sometimes, but all of us do this, man. Oftentimes – we will kind of become elite in terms of our fandom. And mm-hmm. Have you ever had that moment where you get a new person in the fandom and they go to say something to you like, oh man, I'm looking forward to this. And you're like, that's because you're a fucking moron. Like yeah. We gotta be careful about that. Cause I can't tell you how often I found myself turned off from a fandom because of the elitism of a fandom. Like, and I know it's tough, but it was just a quick video to talk about how easy it is to accidentally alienate these new guys coming in. And then when mm-hmm. we do that, that takes the viewership down. And when the viewership goes down, the companies panic because all they see is money. All they see is numbers. And they say, right. Hey, man, we're not selling and we're not getting views. This must not work. Let's change everything, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
That's what happened. They mm-hmm. There's no new fans coming in. Everybody that's watching Turtles or reading Turtles is guys that came in during the 80s or during the 80s. They either read the comic or watched that show and now they're in Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And the comics aren't selling the way they used to. and the show is not being viewed the way it used to, and the toys don't sell the way it used to. So what was their instinct? They said, for some reason, this isn't working. We need to change everything. And they did.
Yep.
Like that.
Yep, exactly.
That new Turtles proves that you got to be careful about elitism, because if you chase out the new guys coming in, these companies panic and they try to pander to those new guys. And when they do that, they work against us. So they shit on what brought us in so they can bring those guys in, because those guys are young and they're going to start getting money and they want that money.
Yep, and they know exactly.
They know that those guys are going to have kids soon, like within the next 6, 7, 8 years. And they mm-hmm. want those kids to have these adults that got into it that can put their kids into it. And that's a real thing. So it's just something that had been on my mind for a while, that I think that's why these properties changed drastically, is because of that. Because the company, it's just like us. If our viewership, well, for us, it doesn't matter. We don't make a penny, and we don't really care about pandering that much. So
we do and we don't.
But if we were making money and this was our lifestyle and we did not have to go to work, if we literally just sat here and talked on these mics, well, then as soon as our viewership did this, we'd be like, motherfuckers hate us, change everything, and try to get the viewership back.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's stupid business.
Or we would say, who gives a fuck, you know, and either attempt other shows to see if maybe that drives others in, or, you know, see how it works. Or even worse, let's just say that, you know, we've already put in all this time into Sentai, because that's been the biggest, longest running show for, like, what, 5 years now?
No shit.
And all of a sudden, Sentai numbers dip because we get to, you know, fucking Ninja Steel, and we're like, oh my god, fucking Power Rangers Ninja Steel sucks a dick, and all these fans of it are like, nope, done with your show, bye. And then we're like, oh, well, then I guess we're done with Sentai, removing it from the list, move on to other shows.
So
feel better about yourself, so.
Dude, I do. You don't even know how cool these things are, dude. I am awesome over here. I have fucking claws, dude. Look real good though. Look at that.
Oh yeah.
These are the best.
Am I coming in?
Yes. Yeah, you're in, sir. Yeah. This is the best.
You, but we got you.
No, I've got him. He's on our cameras.
Oh, I see is like part of his head in like the corner of his room.
Oh no,
it might just be my camera.
His feet is fine. I see him. But this is the best claws I've bought so far, and I've bought like 6 sets. And it took me a long time to find one that I really, really liked. And this has been a damn good one. Next on Comics Toss, let's go into, I posted another video. I do that a lot. Comics Toss pretty much gets only my traffic for some reason.
Gee, I wonder why.
This was from Keeping Up with the X-Men. Shameless plug right there. You can put it right there. It's a nice plug. But, yeah, classic X-Men loot. Holy shit, mind fucking blown. I went to Mega Replay, and all I was going to do was get a video game. I wanted something mindless that could keep my attention, but not have to take too much of my attention, if you get what I mean.
Right.
So I decided I need like a hack and slashy walkie cutty game. So I was looking at those games like that. When all of a sudden I come across Wolverine Origins, and I was like, ooh, that's a terrible movie. But I don't remember it being a terrible game, so I pick it up, and I'm like, this'll do. Wolverine, leaping, cutting, jumping.
Another game being better than the movie.
It is. Dude, I played so far only the first level, and it was fucking awesome. I'm like on a helicopter, and the helicopter gets shot, and it goes down, and Wolverine jumps out of the helicopter and pops his claws, and he's fallen, and there's all this gunfire coming up, and it like tinks off your head and your chest and everything. And then he gets his claws fully extended, and he's kind of flies down into this guy. He hits this dude so hard. You got to aim yourself to do it, but you hit this dude and you paste him. He's just sludge on the ground. You hit him so damn hard.
Nice.
So he pastes all over the ground, and after you've killed him, immediately Wolverine like gets up and he has to start breaking his shoulders back into place and everything. And there's like holes in him and shit. And he's all torn up. Your life bar goes down and that puts damage on your body, but you don't die. If you hit like zero life, it tells you back off and heal. Now you're close to actually being dead. So if you back off, your life bar is you, and you'll see you start healing back up so that you don't look all torn up. And, dude, it's an awesome game. He's just running. He's leaping. He's cutting. He's got the rage meter. It's freaking awesome to be Wolverine.
He's slicing and dicing.
Yeah. Dude, it was so good. But I was about to leave.
I'm remembering correctly, yep. I've played that game, and the one gripe I had with it was incredibly short.
Yeah, it's very much God of War. It's very much God of War. You play, you hack slash, you walk, you're done. But yeah, nice. I got the play in it, but before I left, I was just about to walk out the door. I was up there getting my stuff, and I kept staring, and I looked up, and there was like 100 frickin' trinkets and Star Trek guys and all kinds of stuff on the ceiling, like across the ceiling, when I seen this. That is an original Uncanny X-Men Wolverine Weapon X Nakey freaking guy toy. Dude.
Nice.
He's still in the package. Uh-huh. Like, I'm going to get to open this again, just like when I was a kid. And he wasn't the only one I found. Remember how I said I had flippy tummy guys? Where Wolverine could get tummy scratches, and then you could push the button on his back and it would flip his tummy and he would be healed. I found the Sabretooth one of him.
Nice.
And then I found Wolverine.
Sweet.
And these guys were cheap. He was 6. He was 10. And the Wolverine was 14. So, like, at first I was like, maybe I shouldn't open them. But then I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, why shouldn't I? They cost almost nothing. It's not like overnight they're going to be millionaire things or whatever, so who really cares?
You never know, Bill.
I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Even
if they are like, what is it, like a million or $2 billion items, like even out of box, they're still worth something.
Yep. Yeah. So otherwise, I did the X-Men 20 drop, which I normally do. We covered that was 3 articles. The fourth tab in here is we covered Pride of the X-Men. So anybody that hasn't seen the Comics Toss, or rather heard the Comics Toss, we're done with the X-Men now. We've done all of season 1 and the Lost Pilot. So we're ready. Next is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original 80s series.
I'm not looking forward to that one, but that's just because I still got to find a way to watch that shit, which means probably running to Walmart and seeing if they have it there on DVD, if not like a Target or something.
Wait, didn't you check the Dropbox?
I did check the Dropbox, but all I saw was like 2 episodes.
I thought we were tackling like 2 at a time or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I imagine we should be, yeah. Yeah, okay. We'll do 2 at a time. We'll break it into 3 episodes, and then we'll cover the entire first season because it's only 5 episodes.
That's why I was lost. I was like, okay, so there's only 2 episodes. I was like, shit, I'm gonna need to go find the other 3.
The last 2 things of note are my claws came in. Hey, that was on Comics Toss. I could talk about them. And the other thing is that this is not something we'll spend a lot of time on because really I'm the only one that really knows much about it. Wolverine is back. He is back in the Marvel Universe. It is the Wolverine. He was resurrected somehow?
Doom guy.
Sure.
Called for it.
It probably has something to do with the Infinity Stones because right now that's something that's taking place. There's a huge thing taking place. It's another Marvel event, so that's a pain in the ass because these are getting really old. But
make sure that you buy issue 873 of Daredevil. We know you don't like it, but buy
exactly,
it.
Dude. It's so dumb. But at the same time, it has been a cool thing because Wolverine is back, and he's holding one of the Infinity Gems. He's holding the Space Gem. And what this has been allowing him to do, his first debut back, he killed a Frost Giant with a semi and claws. It was awesome. Right.
With a semi.
Yep. And then, now that he's back, his very first scene, he's sitting on a log out in the woods, and all these guys start coming out of the brush, and he stands up and he says, "I was wondering how long it was going to take for you guys to come out." He says, "Let me ask you one question before I kill all of you." And then he pops his claws and he says something, I can't remember what. And then he just goes nuts and he's cutting all these guys up and he's killing everybody. And one guy catches him and he goes to do this thing where he's like, "Bub, I'm the best there is at what I do. And what I do is," and then all of a sudden he fucking disappears and appears behind the guy and like cuts him in half and says, "Teleport is what I do." Cause he's holding the Space Gem. So now he's like Wolverine with Nightcrawler powers, but he has way more control cause it's an Infinity Gem.
Yep.
Oh, and so then he also stabbed.
Basically Wolvie Crawler.
He also stabbed Loki in the face, which was awesome. Because Loki is the Sorcerer Supreme right now, and I guess Wolverine doesn't agree with that.
Yeah, I can understand why.
So that was awesome.
You shared that one panel of the comic where Wolvie's talking to Loki, and he's just like, "What the fuck, bub?" And I'm like, "What the shit is going on? What the?" I was like,
"Oh, you mean the Spider-Man way. One?"
Yeah,
it's the Spider-Man. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, no. And he's like, "Puny mortal." And he's like, "Look, you've been our villain for years. Why do you expect me to trust you now?" "Well, because I am the Sorcerer Supreme." And I was like, so?
Why does this matter to me?
I'm the Sorcerer Supreme. And I'm Carmen Sandiego. Guess where I am?
I'm over here not giving a fuck.
Waldo too somewhere.
Yeah, dude. Like, if you've been a dick in the past, what makes you think I could trust you now?
It was weird. It really was. It was strange. But aside from that, that is all for Comics Toss right now. Oh, except for to say that now that they are starting to get into bringing Wolverine back, there's an event which is called The Hunt for Wolverine. The Hunt for Wolverine is one book. Then you need the corresponding four other books, which will go into The Hunt, which is The Claws of a Killer, which is four parts, The Adamantium Agenda, which is four parts, something else I can't remember off the top of my head, four parts.
Weapon X, probably. Or probably Rage something, knowing since it's Wolverine based.
Here it is. No, it's The Hunt for Wolverine, that's one book. The second is four books of something called Weapon Lost. The next four books is The Adamantium Agenda. The next four books is The Claws of a Killer. The next four books is Mystery and Madripoor. So you need 17 books to find Wolverine and put him back into the Marvel Universe. That shit could have been done in a fucking one shot. Maybe a four-part mini-series. Like, Marvel is milking this shit.
But Bill, I already know where Wolverine is. He's in Madripoor. Didn't you read the last sentence of books?
Yeah, exactly.
Just go to China. There you go. Problem solved.
So, what's our next feed?
Well, I'm already jumped over into controller pile-up.
Go ahead.
So let's see, we've got, well, aside from me saying, hey, there's a stream, Scotty posted on the Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition for Switch. Let's see. You doing your stream. All right, whatever.
Definitive edition. So that's is that supposed to come with everything that
yeah,
was
– May.
Does it also include the stuff that was on the DS?
With it being the definitive edition, it probably does have everything, period.
Because the one thing I want from the DS, there's only one thing I want. When you go into battle and you're Link, right? So you're doing your stuff over here and your guy up here is dying. Your Impa is dying because she can't fight four skeletons. Instead of running all the way up there to do that, on the DS, you activated the map and you clicked on Impa and you just became Impa. So you could be any single guy that was on the field. So it didn't matter who you picked at the start. You had control of every character on the field. So you never run into that moment where they're like, oh, so-and-so is moving towards the exit. Don't let a single one of your guys die. And one of your guys is at half life and he can't fight four normal enemies. And he dies because you can't babysit him and do your mission. Now you can just pick him, kill the guys that are surrounding him as him, and then go back to what you were doing. I want that. If that's on the Switch, I'll buy it.
See, so I don't know much about this Dynasty Warriors spinoff one. So how does it stand up in, you know, in relation to the other ones?
It's a lot like Dynasty Warriors. I mean,
obviously.
to be fair, they didn't lose anything in translation. But there is an extra added kind of puzzlement and exploration, like when you're in battle. There are rocks and little cave entrances and stuff like that. So if you have the bombs, you can do that kind of stuff where you blow up a rock or whatever and you find a treasure chest and things of that nature. There are bosses which actually require special ways to fight them, like the Dodonga King or whatever. You have to actually throw bombs in his mouth while his mouth is open. And the other added little things is that there are secret scarab things that are hidden. The skull spider dudes, they're hidden around every map, and if you find them, you get parts. The other thing that makes it like a Zelda game is there's this one overhead thing that you have to do where it gives you the original Legend of Zelda map, and you go through that map. And as you uncover secrets and fight bad guys and things, each one of the little squares of the map is a different Hyrule Warrior event thing that you have to go through. So you'll like move one up to the right and use the flaming candle that you got from the last mission. So, okay, you move up. That takes you into a battle zone, so you could take that square. You fight the little battle zone, you take that square, and let's say when you did that, you got the candle. Well, if you remember the original Zelda, you can actually go over to the forest and use the candle to burn that tree to find the exact secret that was actually in the original game, and it's in this game as well.
Oh, badass.
So there's nice. Little things like that. And then otherwise it's just Dynasty Warriors, really. It's just got very much a Zelda coat of paint.
Yeah, see, because I can only deal with so much Dynasty Warrior, you know, spinoff games, but I do enjoy playing them, but I've been at a toss-up either playing Hyrule Warriors or Fire Emblem Warriors.
Dude, I love that Fire Emblem Warriors. Holy shit. Oh, and Fire Emblem Warriors does that thing I was telling you about. You could be anybody.
Oh, nice. So if you have to choose between those two, which one would you pick? And that's where I'm stuck at right now. Do I pick up Fire Emblem Warriors now, or do I wait for Hyrule Warriors?
I already have Fire Emblem Warriors, to be fair, but like I play the shit out of. Look, on the Wii U, I played the crap out of that Zelda game.
Okay.
And right now, I'm really enjoying Fire Emblem Warriors. So I mean, I can't say that either one is better or worse.
They're kind of their own thing, basically.
Right. Kind of like if you play One Piece Warriors, it feels different than playing Dynasty Warriors as opposed to playing Dynasty Gundam.
Yeah, true. Yeah, One Piece Warriors I actually enjoy. It's fun. I have it for on Steam.
Okay, what's next?
Bill and I used to play that a lot over our PS4s. But all right,
it's so,
skipping.
Massive.
Yeah. Yeah, skipping your stream. Next, yeah. Scotty posted Oregon Trail is now playable on your phone.
No, not a phone.
What is it?
Okay.
It's like a device that you can get at Target currently that makes it handheld.
So it's a standalone, you only can play Oregon Trail on that handheld device?
Yep.
So almost.
How much does it run for?
So it's a Tiger Electronic.
I was just going to say that. Oregon I was going to say it's Tiger Electronic Oregon Trail.
Okay.
That
so
might
is it
not
just the base game, or is there anything else onto it?
No, from what I remember reading, it's like a little device where you can push in like what seems like an old floppy disk further in and actually turn it on to play the Oregon Trail.
Okay.
But that is Let's all see. It is, though. I mean, that's kind of like cool. I mean, I don't know how on board I am necessarily to run out and get it, but it is neat. It is neat, but it's also one of those things that I imagine you could get an emulator on your phone and play it. I mean, I can't guarantee that, but I imagine you can. But
well,
this is
one, there was like one moment where I was having like a random urge to play Oregon Trail, so I went on the Google Play Store and there's at least 20 different, you know, variations of the Oregon Trail.
Yeah,
I didn't find one that was the exact relation of it. But they're close enough, or they added on to the Oregon Trail to make it better.
Yeah,
some people like the nostalgia of having something that's palatable in their hand rather than their talking device. I mean,
I've never really came across an exact emulation on my phone for the Oregon Trail. So maybe there's a niche for it that people are wanting it. So.
Oh, there's guaranteedly. Yeah. They even have a card game for the Oregon Trail now where it's you play the Oregon Trail and it does everything the game did, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I remember playing that back in middle school. Like that definitely is some nostalgia right there.
Well, I remember playing the update to it in middle school, because they did an update to it in like the late 90s, I think, that put it in color and everything. This is literally like I'm looking at the
article this is
right
the
now.
Old green. It's the monochrome, isn't it, Scott?
Black and green. Yeah, black and green.
Apparently, it is a handheld Pong console that looks like an Apple II, in which in order to turn it on, you push in a miniature floppy disk.
Like you were saying,
Yep, and it's, let's see, only available at Target, $25 price tag. Hmm. So.
All right, novelty-wise, that's cool, but that is $20 for a floppy disk, for a floppy disk. Of
but
Oregon
they had
Trail.
Worse prices for smaller things, so
smaller than a floppy disk video game.
It's a mini floppy disk, and all it does is it turns on and off.
No, I realize that, but Oregon Trail is a floppy disk. This is less than 2.4 megabytes of information, and you're going to pay $24 for it.
Yep.
The novelty of it.
I can think of is like for me personally, I never played the original because I grew up in the 90s, so I only played the revised color version. So to me, that would be cool to go back and play the original, but I don't know if it's worth 20.
It's the novelty. You're paying for the novelty of it. Let's at least be honest. This is something that you could put on your go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or on a Switch.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have
get you a mobile console and hack the shit out of it. Or again, like Kevin said earlier, Google Play, go to the Apple Store and hit up iTunes and see about the 20 or 30 or 50 or 100,000 different clones of Oregon Trail.
Yeah, exactly.
But
that's my biggest thing, because I already have my Switch that I carry around. I already have my phone. I don't like adding more things to take around with me. And something like Oregon Trail, if I'm at home, I would much rather just play an emulation of it on my computer. I'm sure I can find one.
Yeah.
So the only reason I would want a version is to take it out somewhere, and I don't want to take something else with me.
Right.
It is a cool novelty. It is a cool novelty.
It's a cool gimmick thing to, you know, keep on a shelf or whatever, but that's all I would see it as, just to show off to people.
Exactly. And at that point, I would rather recommend going to Steam and buying Oregon Trail, where basically it's Oregon Trail with zombies.
Yeah, I've seen that. I never played it, but it looked cool.
I think it was free for like 1 month with Plus on PS4, I played it for a while. And it's not a bad little game. I think so, yeah. It either was, or I had like an extra like $10 or something, and I was just like, meh.
Oh, but you actually skipped something, Seth, on the feed.
Yeah, the Smash.
Yeah, Super Smash Brothers for Nintendo Switch, something that I'm very much interested in.
When they teased it at first, looking like a Splatoon definitive edition, and then
Is it a port with extra stuff, or is it its own Switch version?
It's gonna be its own Switch version, from what it sounds like.
So it's not the port that was, because I'm noticing that the Switch, I love it. But they have to make up for the Wii U, which means the Switch is getting every Wii U game. They got Pokken Tournament and all that other, and it got the Mario Kart and whatnot. So these are good games. These are great games that came out on the Wii U that nobody got because the Wii U, I don't care. The Wii U did not suck. It was a fucking awesome system. It was marketed horribly.
Right.
Yeah. And what it seems like is that, I don't know. I've been wondering that too, like why there hasn't been too many standalone exclusive Switch titles that were AAA, because there's already indie titles that are exclusive to the Switch, and I'm actually kind of, you know, this is a good plug, but the first game I'm going to be reviewing for my new little thing that I'm going to be doing, I don't think we have an exact name for it yet.
We just made its channel.
Okay, sweet.
We just made its channel. What's going to happen is you will be doing indie reviews for games that people should be looking out for that avoid the AAA market. And these games and reviews will be going up on, the controller pile up. It's already got its own YouTube, so you can go over there and get on it. And yeah, it's still being set up. I need to make a lot of stuff for it, like the banner and things like that, but it's all simple crap.
The first episode should be up around the 14th or 15th, because that's when the game I'm reviewing is going to be released, and it's actually a Switch exclusive, which I'm excited about, because there's about, I think, 5 or 6 indie games now that are Switch exclusives, which is weird to me because those are out before any AAA exclusive titles are. So I'm wondering if they just kind of rushed the development, the release of the Switch before they actually had games ready. So they're like, okay, might as well just throw Wii U stuff out until we have something ready.
No, they have to make up for it. They lost a ton of money on the Wii U. The Wii U went out. It did not sell. It was not marketed well. There are still people now, this is not fucking acceptable. There are people right now that think the Wii U was a controller for the Wii.
Yeah.
See, I thought that at first, like the first couple weeks, but then I educated myself. So there's no excuse for people to still think that.
But there is, because while you might be nerdy enough to go do this, because you're everyday guy, like there are guys at work that still think that's a controller.
No, the controller for the Wii was the Nerf. And by the way, the only reason why it is I skipped that is because you posted it in the main Fandom Night channel, so I already read it off. It's just you guys weren't here to make any comments.
Then again, with these announcements from the Nintendo Direct feed that happened today, I kind of spread them on both pages. So
I'm curious about
when it comes to the new Super Smash Brothers. I mean, it made sense that Splatoon is going to be on there, but I'm wondering what other characters they're going to release and what other characters you guys would want to see into a Super Smash Bros. Game that's never been there.
If it's its own actual game,
Which it is. I did look at it. It's going to be the newest installment of Super Smash Bros. So
I know with the tease, they showed A Mario and the Breath of the Wild Link.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That, Adult Link is almost always the newest Link.
And it's going to be interesting having Mario with like happy mechanics
The real question is, do we get Cappy Mario, Mario, and Dr. Mario as three actual characters?
I mean, it honestly depends on how many characters they're wanting to do, and this is what I'm kind of afraid of going back.
But what you just said, if we do Cappy, do we then lose Mario? Because he's been a staple character since the first game, and his fighting style has not altered. He's a main drive character, so we can't just not have Mario. Cappy.
Mario can be Mario, ability.
Right, but that's what I mean. That changes Mario. That's just like Dr. Mario is not Mario. He is a different character, and people that play the game hardcore, they'll tell you that's not a costume change. Dr. Mario is not Mario.
Yeah, because I used to main Dr. Mario, and I can tell you from experience, Doc Mario is way different from standard Mario.
It's
the
like taking
is similar, but it's different at the end of the day.
It's like if they removed Ken from Street Fighter and then said, well, Ryu and Ken are the same guy. To a normal person, that might be true. They're not even close. If you're getting into competitive and actually playing, they're not even close to the same character.
See, so here's my theory, banking off of that. So I do feel that they will. I don't think they're going to only have the new Mario, the new Zelda. I think they're going to have the old school ones too.
Well, Link is different. Link is different. Link has always, the adult Link is always the newest Link. He does actually change. Like the first Link, I believe he was Link to the Past Link in the first game. And then, or he might have been the Ocarina of Time. He was Ocarina of Time. Link. The second game that came out, he was Twilight Link.
Okay.
Actually, one of them had the Toon Link and Adult Link.
Right.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And then I think when the third game came out, was that the Wind Waker Link?
Yeah, the Toon one.
Because I'm not even talking the Toon, or was it?
Yeah,
there was Adult, Toon, and Kid.
I think they changed out Kid to be Toon.
Yeah,
like,
because
I think they removed Kid Link.
Yeah,
Wind Waker. Right, sorry, not Wind Waker. Yeah, Wind Waker Link was the Toon Link.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened there. Because Kid was removed because we got the newest Link, and the newest Link was the Wind Waker. And then just recently in the newest one, I think the Skyward Sword Link was the one that we got, if I'm not mistaken, because he actually got that weird outfit that you could put on him when you were going through the costumes.
This is what's
going
to happen, Bill. Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be the new Link. It'll just replace the adult Link, I promise you.
But no, I know what's going to happen. And the fact that I'm saying this and that this actually becomes a thing, you can blame me. But they're going to go in Justice 2 style, and they're going to make it so you can put outfits on people using loot box systems in order to change the style of the character. Again, if that actually happens, I'm sorry.
No. I'm thinking of the issue I'm having with Injustice 2 getting turtle gear.
So anyway, that tangent aside, so let's see. Yeah, I'm not going to count the double back. So yeah, then the next thing is something we already touched on, where basically you had reposted my thoughts on Final Fantasy 14 so far.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, we'll skip that one as well. Okay, so then the next thing was Final Fantasy Brave Exvius versus Tomb Raider Lara Croft arrives, which I guess is just a random YouTube video you found, Scotty.
Yeah, Tomb Raider got introduced to that mobile game.
Okay, because I was going to say, what the shit?
Yeah, I'm just a little confused too, but that's interesting. So is it just Lara Croft, or is it multiple characters?
It's Lara Croft got added to that game. That's it. because the movie that's coming out and stuff.
That's right. Fuck that.
Wait, I don't know anything about this movie. What movie is it?
It's not a movie. It's the Final Fantasy Brave Excavus, the game that was on the cell phone. You get all kinds of different characters throughout the history of Final Fantasy. And
yeah, I remember I played it when you were playing it way back when. So
it's not that big of a thing, but I've been waiting for Tifa Lockhart on that game since the fucking thing debuted, and it never happened. So far, Tifa has still not been put into the game, but we've gotten like three fucking guest characters so far. Like, Lara Croft made it into the game before Tifa, and that fucking android, Nier Atona.
Automate or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, she made it into the game before Tifa Lockhart. And maybe you could call that fanboying, but like, I feel like Final Fantasy VII should have had its entire roster before we got guest characters. So far, I think there's Cloud.
Yep. By the way, do you want to play as Tifa, Bill? Because I've got a mobile game that'll allow you to play as Tifa. It's called Final Fantasy Dissidia.
I've got it.
Yeah.
And I've got her.
Yeah, so do I. I've got like a giant roster of characters already. Including something that I know would make Nick crazy insane, because I already have Dark Paladin, Cecil, Edge, and Yang, and they're like my three mains right now.
Yang.
No, it's Yang.
It's Yang.
No. Here we go with the Bahamut. So suck my Wong-er.
Bahamut. Bitch.
Favorite old jokes. Anyway, let's see. So, yeah, I think the last thing I'm going to end on then is Skyrim Switch Studio publicly offers to port Monster Hunter World for Capcom.
Yes!
That would be awesome.
I'm telling you, those guys were able to do the impossible. I don't give a shit. If they say they can do it, let them do it. Fucking give it to them. Give everything to them. Yeah. It all belongs to them now. Like, they did something that was impossible. Nobody thought that we would ever, I don't care how technical savvy anybody thinks they are, nobody believed for a minute that we were going to play an uncut fucking Skyrim game on a tablet. And nobody thought that.
And not only that, it's with all the DLC with extra, you know, it's the Game of the Year edition or whatever it was.
Uncut.
It has, like, some of the modded stuff too, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Uncut. The whole fucking game. And you know what else it does? This is going to blow your fucking mind. Get ready for this. It fucking works. You know why that's such a big deal? Because I played it on the fucking PlayStation. And you know what it didn't do?
Work. Yeah.
That's the fucking PlayStation 4. And the game froze. This is ironic. The game froze when it snowed. If you were up in the mountains and it began to snow, the game would fucking glitch out and freeze and crash.
So, oh, wow. Here's my question. Yeah. So the loading times for the Switch version versus the PS4 version, which ones are longer?
Well, to be fair, technically Bill misspoke. He played it on the 3.
Okay.
But no. I did play it on the 3. But I'm still going to stick to the fact that it was on a fucking PlayStation 3, not a tablet.
Yep.
This is true.
This is huge. Look, they got fucking Doom to work. They had to take the frame rate down. I'm fucking sorry. Oh my God.
It was still awesome, though. Yeah, I mean, it still looked really good. I was surprised when I played that.
And it played. It played. Only the hardcore really recognized just the difference. Like, this is the way it is. People think that you can see 60 frames a second. You can't.
You can't.
You feel 60 frames a second. There's a difference in the way a game feels. Like a shooter, lining up a shot feels different in 60 to 30.
Yep. Well, and here's the crazy thing, too, because with Doom, I saw less frame rate issues on that game than I did with Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which was made for the Switch. Because that game in the tablet version, there are frame rate issues, but on the Doom, it was perfect. Like, I had no issues with frame dropping at all.
Now, this is the only thing the Switch has to look out for. This could be game breaking. The fact that it's more powerful on the dock means that some games have to be real careful. And this is exactly what I mean. There are some games that if you start on the dock and you pick it up, the game doesn't work as well. If you start on the tablet, the game works.
Yep. Yeah.
There's something about the way it has to switch and kind of reprocess that can mess up certain games. But at the same time, you have to be blown away by the fact that they were able to take a game like Skyrim that, first off, shouldn't work at all, and then second, instantly switches from the dock to your hand without any problems.
See, the only thing I'm already foreseeing is that, you know, with all these indie developers and third party, you know, support that Nintendo has never seen before.
No. They screwed a lot of people into that third party support years ago. It was fucking brilliant.
Okay, yeah.
Because that's how Nintendo and Super Nintendo thrived the way it did, is they had this contract that basically butt-fucked anybody that wanted to work with them, forcing them to continue to work with them. In the original Super Nintendo stuff and Nintendo stuff, like, if you made a game on Nintendo for Nintendo, you had to buy your chips and cartridges from them.
Yep.
So you were paying Nintendo for the supplies. You had to pay Nintendo for the supplies to make your game that you were making for Nintendo. And on top of that, in order to make your game for Nintendo, you had to sign this contract that said that the next three games you make are guaranteed on Nintendo. You can't make them for anybody else.
Yep.
And since Nintendo was the big shit, you had to do it.
Yeah, and it's still similar to that. Not as bad, because I was actually looking at, you know, making a random game for the Switch, and I went onto their website and I was like, hey, I want to be a developer. And they had me sign up for something. Within 5 minutes, it said, you're now a developer. I'm like, yay, sweet. And they're like, okay, so in order to make a game for the Switch, you need to now. Well, you can make it whenever. Like, they give you all the APKs and stuff, no problem, or like the packages and stuff you need. But you do have to still buy their software. That's a developer kit, which is like, I think it was
now
like
that
$3,000.
To be fair, that at least makes sense. That's not the same thing, because you need
no
that.
Contract. There's you no need contract that. Saying you have to make stuff exclusive to the Switch.
The contract used to say, if you're going to make Final Fantasy 1, we get 2 and 3. And you cannot make them, you can't multi-port these things, they go straight to us, and you have to get your chips, and your supplies, and your carts from us to make this game.
Yep.
So you will pay us for the materials to make your game, and you'll pay us for the dev kit to make your game, and if you make your game and we put it on our system, you also have to make the next two. Under the same idea, you're also going to have to continue to buy stuff. So we're making money from your game, and we're making money from you because you're making the game.
Yeah. See, but the only thing I'm afraid of right now with how the indie market is exploding on the Switch is it's going to become the same clusterfuck that Steam is now.
Oh, it's inevitable, but that's because the gaming industry...
Yesterday, there was 13 games that were released. 13 freaking games.
Yeah, but that's because the gaming industry has changed. I mean, any random guy in his basement is a game developer nowadays. So, I mean, when you and if you open the floodgates and say, hey, guys, come over here. Every jockey wants the chance to be somebody. So, I mean, that's. And there's nothing wrong with going for it. There's nothing wrong with swinging for the fence. But in to be realistic, if I open up the gates and I say, everybody's welcome. Well, I mean, you kind of bring it on yourself when all of a sudden your network is overrun. because you invited everybody to the store.
Yeah. And then you get into the situation where you need people like us, or like what I'm trying to do, because it's going to be so oversaturated. There's going to be beautiful games that never get seen or noticed. But I will give credit to Nintendo on how they're doing it right now with their new spotlight thing, where they are playing the indie games and they're spotlighting what they've been playing and what they like. So if they continue doing that, that's good, because that's generating traffic in the place that they want it to be. And it's also making sure that the developers that should be getting noticed do.
Right.
So I do appreciate them doing that. That's something Steam doesn't really do. It's only like, you know, third party reviewing sites that really handle Steam reviews. So I do give credit to Nintendo there.
So what feed are we on now?
Let me think, because I'm not sure what I know we've covered the main. I know we just did Pile Up. You did Comics Toss just a second ago. I think we're up to either Jobber or Sentai.
Pick one of them.
Jobber probably has nothing, so just go to Sentai.
Really? Jobber has nothing?
Wouldn't surprise me none. Let me double check. Let's see. Jobber Wrestling Corner.
Looks like Naomi causes an awkward moment between Braun Strowman. Well, I don't know that guy. I don't know there's a fucking guy's name. And that other person. Maybe I shouldn't be the one on Jobber, to be fair.
Yeah. I'm over. Don't worry. So, yeah, Naomi causes an awkward moment between Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss.
Fucking, I should deliver the news for Jobber.
That's all good. Let's see. They officially announced a mixed tag match at Mania to be Kurt Angle and Rowdy Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Let's see. WWE announces a 50-man Greatest Royal Rumble. And I guess they're inducting Hillbilly Jim into the Hall of Fame. That's pretty cool. And then, of course, Scotty posted the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn as Bulk and Skull. So there you go. There's Jobber. We're all done.
See, so, okay, I just want to mention something. I don't really watch WWE as much as I used to in the past, but the one thing that always confuses me is, why are there still people that were wrestling in the 80s and early 90s still there?
Because because the physicality of it is real and the danger of it is real, but the competition of it is not real.
Yep.
That's why. That's the reason, that's the reason it is physical, it is demanding, it is dangerous. Yeah. These three things are true. But anybody that knows the showmanship of this sport knows where it came from. Many, many years ago, there was something called the Circus Strongman. And his job was to pull off feats of amazing acrobatic talents, backflips, lifting great things, doing wrestling matches. That's what these guys did. And then somehow that kind of evolved over time, and they even still wear some of the same fucking outfits as the Circus Strongman. It's the only sport left that still wears trunks.
Yep.
But over time, what ended up happening here was people kind of lost sight of the show, and the show became more dramatized. And then it became more elaborate. And now you have this weird thing going on in wrestling. And this has been true for our entire lives, because it was already making the change before we were even born.
Yeah, because originally it started way back in like the 30s and 40s, where it was like guys would go to beer gardens, like with the state fair, almost like what Bill said is the Circus Strongman. And literally one dude would do a chokehold and then throw that guy down on the ground and start fucking with the audience and be like, ah, fuck you. Yep. So people would start throwing beer in their face, which would make them have to go buy another beer.
Yep.
Or they'd run up and, you know, chug the beer out of some dude's hand and be like, fuck you. So you got to go buy more beer. So at the end of the night, they got paid based off how many mugs got sold.
Yeah. Yeah. And over time, what has happened is that you get these because it's now a showmanship, and it always has been.
Yeah.
But because it's a showmanship, you get these big names. And it's just like you want to see, Arnold Schwarzenegger in one more giant action movie. You get what I'm saying? Like,
well, yeah. And here's my thing. Like, of course, I went through that whole stage of thinking WWE was real until, like, you know, I was like 12 or 13 and I realized it was fake. But even though you know it's fake, when it comes to, like, you know, I mean, of course, it's still, you know, there's still a physical demanding dangerous portion of it, but you still, they're still hyping it up to be more real than it actually is. And my thing is to keep that realism, even though you know it's not, it kills it when you see someone like in their 50s that should never be wrestling anymore,
well, that's
taking
like,
on someone that's like in their 20s and winning.
Like Ric Flair.
It's kind of the they have a lot of the exact same mentality as like guys who do stand-up or like guys that are in bands. Like Ozzy Osbourne still gets on the stage whenever he can. Why? Yeah. Because he loves being out in front of the crowd and feeling that energy. You got, you know, these old rock and roll guys who basically that's all they do is they go out and they play their hits. They haven't made a new album in like the last 20 fucking years, but they go out on tour because everybody's bought all the old shit, knows all the old shit, and wants them to play the old shit. Anytime they try to put out a new album, nobody wants to hear it. In fact, several WWE performers, including Chris Jericho, one of their side gigs, not only for acting, like Cena, The Rock, Batista, people like that, but some of them also have gigs as fucking rock and roll stars, like fucking, like I said, like
and
Jericho.
And he has a podcast too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, like you got Jericho, Lita, fucking, goddammit, what's her name? Mickey James stopped to become a country musician. Stone Cold tried music for a while. Didn't go anywhere, but he tried
it. Yeah,
he tried it.
He also tried awful acting.
Right.
At least I'm guessing he was trying to be an awful actor because I mean,
I think he still occasionally does.
Oh, he still tries to be an awful actor?
Occasionally.
Yeah. Oh. He succeeds.
Okay, and also another question for you, Seth, because I was watching I think it was Raw, I think a couple weeks ago, and I saw John Cena, and it seemed like everyone was getting everyone hated John Cena now. When did that change?
Because the hating Cena stopped like halfway through his career, like up into the mid 2000s when they started what is referred to as the PG era, where you can't say anything worse than hell or damn or ass.
Yeah,
because there's little children.
Only adults like us are allowed to say shit, bitch, ass. And
yep, exactly.
So no, get your bitch and damn and ass back in
that bitch and damn room, damn it.
What?
Well, actually, damn, actually, I was just trying ass to help has out. Been okay to go through quite a few times, so. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Stone Cold coming down, flipping the bird and chugging a beer, that's a no-go. And meanwhile, what's great is the spearhead of the PG movement has been Triple H himself, who back in the days of D-Generation X would find pretty girls and have them rip their fucking titties out on live national TV. But now because he has a kid on, you know, they've got a couple of kids. Nope, we can't do that. Nope, no more. We're done. I'm a parent now. We can't be doing this. We got to calm down. There's kids.
He can still do the crotch shot, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And speaking of Stone Cold Steve Austin, and this was a rumor. I don't know if it's true. Maybe you would know. Does he? I heard that the whole, you know, him drinking the beer bit. He actually didn't like that type of alcohol. Or didn't like drinking beer.
I think it was always a different kind.
It's a matter of they had him drinking Budweiser at the time because, like, they were usually a sponsor.
Yeah, I was going to say they were
sponsored. Any time they went to each one of the different venues, sometimes the venues had beer sponsors.
I know when I was listening to his podcast stuff, he was always talking about his beer that he was making nowadays. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So he must be, like, brewing his own kind of stuff because the way the Budweiser might not have tasted so well after drinking for – how many odd years in the lane?
Yeah.
No, I'd actually heard something from an interview years ago that he didn't like the beer they had him drinking. Like that's not his brand. He, from what I understand, he drank a different brand of beer, and then when he got into the show and they started having him come out to slam beers, he had to slam the beer that was provided.
So usually like yeah, Budweiser and shit. Yeah.
Because those were the guys that were paying for the advertisement plugs. So he had to drink their beer.
Most of the ads in the arenas were usually Budweiser. So
yep. And he doesn't like Budweiser.
Yep, which I completely understand that one. Like, anytime I'd go out and do karaoke with Nick, they'd always have like, oh, well, here's Coors Light fucking 40s for, you know, $1 a can. And it's like, I hate these, but I need to drink in order to sing at karaoke because then it drops my fucks from 0.5% to 0, you know. So have a couple shitty tasting beers and go from there. But if I'm sitting at home, I'm either drinking Woodchuck hard cider with, you know, actual hard alcohol, or I'm drinking like Rolling Rock.
Yeah, Woodchuck was the first thing I ever got drunk off of. It was so dangerous.
But yeah, I think that covers that. So yeah, the last up would be Sentai. And then I can finally go to goddamn bed because it's like almost 10, which
and
is
I was gonna say, and at this time. Point, I probably should head out too, and I know really nothing about Sentai, so.
What's on the feed? Has anybody got it up?
I do.
Okay, go for it. What do we got?
Okay, first up, there's a picture from Dragon Ball Z Frieza Saga. Peter from Family Guy punching Vegeta.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. It was okay.
I shared the link for the YouTube version of the Doctor's Review. We got Aaron Jeggins posting about Colin Baker and his attire and stuff.
Like, yeah, because they were saying, what is it? He was commenting on how...
Not given an option on any control of his look, so...
Yeah, they basically, like, the studio told him what to wear as opposed to him being able to pick his attire.
Let's see. Bill posting about his stream on Wednesday. Bill posting... So here's my idea. The Who. Who are you?
Yes!
Dream with Evil music video.
Think about it. Think about it. Use the original 6 minute and 55 second song, the actual full length version of that song. Who mm-hmm. are you by The Who, Green Ranger, Green with Evil?
I mean, I could see some of that because I mostly remember it from the CSI show.
Yeah.
Right.
Dude, I'm telling you, I can do that.
And of course, then you could get even more crazy because then at like the very end of the video, like after they know it's Tommy, then drop it in with the White Ranger coming in.
Right.
For like the very end of the song.
Let's see. Our pal Ronan had an image of a Sentai figure.
Yeah, it's
dueling Deadpool.
Yeah, it's a Deadpool figure and a Sentai, and I can't. Oh, Sun Vulcan. Red Sun Vulcan.
And Deadpool creating clang noises from his hands. Clang, clang.
Yeah, I saw that. I made this face.
Behold the field where I grow my fuck. See that it lays barren.
I don't give a fuck, Deadpool. Yeah.
Bill posted Tuesday about the new wave in comic books popularity from... I think it was one of the old...
We discussed that. Yeah, we could skip that. They you're on the next one.
Yep.
Aaron posted a female Green Ranger.
Xenoscope. Image. It's done. Yeah, that yeah. No, dude, so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, CJ Ronan, sorry. posted something about trying to change ideas for Sentai.
It's an old meme. Basically, yeah, they posted the actual company that does Rangers. I can't think of the name. I think it is Toei. But yeah, it's basically like the CEO with Toei's image fucking plastered over his face. All right, team, so we need to make better Sentai ideas after 40 seasons. Anybody got any ideas? And, like, the first guy, yeah, how about a super hyper red with zero knowledge of leading? And then the girl next to him, how about more nonsense toys? And then the guy at the end is just kind of chill, just
How about caring more about plot and character interactions than Big Bang power-ups? And then Toei, like the actual manager, is supposed to narrow his eyes at the guy who's sitting there like, man, I don't give a fuck. And then they throw his ass out the window.
Yeah, because we don't need good ideas here. That's not what we're trying to do.
Yep, exactly. It's a kid's show to sell toys, goddammit. It's like 80s Ninja Turtles were...
Look, somehow we've fallen into this fandom, and honestly, it has reinvigorated my fandom to the ninth degree. I never thought I would get back into Power Rangers and Tokusatsu the way I did. Like,
yep.
It was something that I loved as a kid that I dropped off, and I thought that was it. I thought, hey, Godzilla stuff, I still like that. But, like, this show drawing me back in and being a part of the fandom as fans interact and pull us in and tell us and we see more material and we constantly dive further in, it has made me just see the giantness of it. And it makes me appreciate it and dive into it even more. It makes me dedicate to it more than I ever did before. But this show is a business. It's all it is. It's all it ever was. It's all it'll ever be. It sells toys. It's never going to be about good storylines. It's never going to be about care. Like, it is never going to get the same respect, dedication, workers, or attention that something like Star Trek got. It's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that the next thing be the last thing.
Yes.
Because after that, it's a bunch of video clips.
Well, I was going to say the one after that about the Origins teaser, whatever, seems more interesting.
What's up?
Quickly, Ronan posted something about the most hated Rangers going from RPM to Mega Force.
Yeah, skip that. Yeah. Because first off, I don't even want to have that argument because that argument is fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Go Kyger, goddammit.
A leaked concept trailer for an unproduced Power Rangers animated film called Power Rangers Origin.
This is something I have been wanting for years. I think that the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers came back in the comic books. And it's good. Look, I get it. There are people out there that this was not their Rangers. And we see it all the time that people get pissed and say, I'm tired of this Tommy shit. Or I wish they would move on from this Mighty Morphin. Mighty Morphin had the longest run. It was the first run in America. It had the most developed characters in the series. The series, you only get one fucking season with these people, sometimes two seasons. Mighty Morphin got three seasons Mighty Morphin, two movies, one season Turbo, and one season, half a season Turbo, one full season Zeo. That's five seasons and two movies, one team. You know these people. Everybody else gets one season or two seasons, and that's it.
Yep.
That's all they get. And it is for that exact reason that Mighty Morphin is so big. And the comic book proves once again that the storyline potential, because we know these characters so well, is just outrageous. The Power Rangers, if they're ever going to come back, original team, get me a voice actor. Holy shit, I'm hearing a lot of typing.
I'm going to fuck up the audio for this episode.
Get me a voice actor that matches her as close as you can and bring the other guys back and give me Mighty Morphin Power Rangers animated. I want it. And I want it with the original people. I want Walter back. I want Jason back. I want Austin back. You'll never have it. You'll never have it, but I want Amy Jo Johnson back. And even though...
Amy Jo Johnson, it might be possible. Might.
No, she won't come back. She's too big. She's one of the only things that moved past Power Rangers. Everybody else has just kind of been piddling around the toilet bowl. They do stuff, but it never amounts to anything. Amy has had an actual acting career.
Yep.
She's not coming back. if it was one animated movie, but she wouldn't come back for an animated series. I can't see it happening, man. Too big. Hell, she didn't even go to cons until 2 years ago.
Well, that's why I think maybe it would be a better chance because of that.
You think maybe her career's fallen off and that's why she started going to cons? Because
I think it's more plausible now compared to like 3 years ago. So
why do we have to ask questions?
I could agree that it's more plausible than it was. That's definitely a true statement. But it would surprise the hell out of me because she's one of those people that for a long time she wouldn't even talk about it. But Walter won't come back either, but he at least went to the cons. So I mean, it's not like that opened the door for Walter to come back and do anything because they can't get him to come back as Zach, but he'll go to the cons and talk with his fans. So I mean, I think there's a disconnect, and I think some of them had a rougher time. Like, you gotta think about the way those kids were treated, and they don't like Saban. And as long as he's in control of it in any way, they're probably never coming back.
Yep. Yeah, and let's see. I'm pretty sure her career isn't fading out, because let's see.
Then maybe there's a chance.
Yeah, because 2014 was like some of the last times she did movies up until 2017 when she did her cameo in the Rangers movie and did like three other movies as well.
And there is that too. She did agree to a cameo. Now, I don't know if everybody was approached, but her and Tommy showed up. Nobody else did. Yeah. That could be because they were the only ones asked. I don't know that. I'm not privy to that information. But yeah, it does make you wonder.
We don't know who else they could have tried asking. I mean, they could have tried many of the old Rangers. So
we don't know the story 100% here. So maybe it's possible with her. So the only person that we would have to worry about is you have to get a voice actress who can get her mannerisms down enough to make us believe Trini came back. And then I think this would be green light like crazy. I would be so into an animated series. Okay. Do we have anything else?
Oh, and yes, I was listening to the show earlier when you were talking about me at the theater meeting.
Yeah.
let me see here. I think the only other thing left is go do this working thing for tomorrow and then meet up on Saturday and do the rest of the episodes, I guess would be it. So
yeah, I wonder, well, I'll probably be asking this after this is over, but about tomorrow. So,
okay, we're done here. For the one guy that joined us later on.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out fandomnight.com. At fandomnight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to fandomnight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.